理课堂听 class.com。
Number one.
It's such a nice day. Why don't we have lunch outside?
Okay, but let's find some place that's not too noisy. What does the man mean? Number two.
Look at the time. I'm going to miss my bus.
Don't worry. I'll drive you to the stop. And if the bus has already left, I can get you to your apartment.
What does the woman mean? Number three.
Can you recommend a hotel in New York?
Well, I can think of several. What's your budget like? What does the man imply? Number four.
Any messages for me?
Someone did call, but there was so much static I couldn't make out what he was saying.
What does the woman mean? Number five.
Didn't George give a great speech?
Are you serious?
What can be inferred about the woman? Number six.
Can I open a checking account here?
I'm sorry. You'll have to step over to the manager's desk.
What does the woman imply? Number seven.
Now that I've finished my exams, I'm going to relax and go to a movie tonight.
Lucky you. I've still got two more finals to take.
What can be inferred about the woman? Number eight.
It's very nice of you to give me your tickets for the play.
Please, don't mention it. I'm going to be out of town this weekend anyway.
What can be inferred about the man? Number nine.
I almost forgot. I still owe you $10 from the other night.Do you have change for a 20?
Not at the moment. Let's just straighten it out some other time.
What does the woman mean? Number 10.
Hey, what happened to all that food we bought? The refrigerator's empty.
My little brother with the big appetite was here. He really cleaned us out.
What does the man mean? Number 11.
I'm taking Professor Barnes' course next semester. Anything I need to know about it?
If I were you, I'd take careful notes. Her exams are based on her lectures.
What advice does the man give the woman? Number 12.
I'm glad you finally decided to go skiing with us next week.
I still have to get my supervisor to agree to it.
What does the woman imply?Number 13.
Did you see the college newspaper? They did a story on our voter registration campaign.
I did. Maybe it'll spark some interest on campus. Without more volunteers, we'll never meet our goal.
What does the man mean? Number 14.
Have you met the new sales manager yet?
We've been introduced about three times. He seems a little forgetful.
What can be inferred about the sales manager? Number 15.
Excuse me, but do you happen to have change for the parking meter?
No, but if you go into the restaurant, you'll probably be able to change a dollar bill.
What does the woman want to do? Number 16.
I'm going to tell that neighbor of mine to turn down that music once and for all.
I see why you're angry, but I've always found that the polite route is most effective.
What does the man mean? Number 17.
I love your new sofa, but why don't you put it over there under the window?
Oh, but the plants are doing well on the table there.
What does the man imply? Number 18.
At the rate it's being used, the copier's not going to make it through the rest of the year.
The year? It's supposed to be good for five.
What does the woman say about the copier? Number 19.
I've been invited to a dinner party at Janet's. Do you think I should bring something?
You could pick up a cake. Chocolate's her favorite.
What does the woman suggest the man do? 20.
I'm sorry I missed your soccer game, but I had the flu.
Don't worry about it. We couldn't have played worse.
What does the woman mean? Number 21.
Do you feel like watching the evening news?
You ought to stay away from me. I have a bad cold and wouldn't want you to catch it.
What does the woman mean? Number 22.
Phew, it's a real scorcher today.
And the forecasters are saying there's no end in sight.
What does the man imply? Number 23.
Uh-oh, looks like I'm going to be a little late for class. I hope Professor Clark doesn't start on time today.
Are you kidding? You can set your watch by the start of his class.
What can be inferred about Professor Clark? Number 24.
Are you keeping current on news from home since you've been here?
I've been getting weekly updates.
What does the man mean? Number 25.
Well, what did you think of the theater director?
You mean Emily Thompson? She was away, attending a conference.
What does the man imply? Number 26.
That movie was awful, and yet it got such great reviews.
It was hardly worth the price of admission.
What does the man mean? Number 27.
I'm just looking for a bike that'll get me to the library and back.
With the roads the way they are, you'll need a sturdy one.
What does the woman imply? Number 28.
I'll take this suit. It fits me really well. And while I'm at it, I'd like this shirt and tie, too.
We have some nice socks that match.
Number 29.
Sorry, I didn't see you on the news.
Yeah, and it's not like they're going to rebroadcast it anytime soon.
What does the man imply? Number 30.
The science exhibit is opening today. You're coming with me this afternoon, aren't you?
I have too much work to do for tomorrow.
What does the man mean? Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a conversation between a student and his guidance counselor.
Hello, John. You must be pleased. After all, how many students are lucky enough to have been accepted at their first and second choices?
Not many, I know, but I'm not sure yet which one to choose.
Well, you seem to have doubts about the state university. But its biology department has a fine reputation. What more could a biology major want?
Yeah, and they also have internships for seniors. But a friend told me that for the first 2 years, some lectures have 150 students. You probably wouldn't get to know any of your teachers.
Well, you might, actually, because those classes also have small discussion sections. They meet twice a week and have no more than 20 students.
I know, but I've heard they're usually taught by graduate students. At Whitestone College, all classes are taught by professors.
And what about setting? Do you prefer a small town like Whitestone or a bigger place like the state capital?
That doesn't matter to me. What I do care about is getting individual attention from the faculty and making friends.
Look, I've known you for 4 years now, and you seem to be a pretty outgoing person. I don't think you'd have any trouble making friends at the state university. It sounds to me like you're leaning toward Whitestone, though.
I am. The only problem is that Whitestone's tuition is really high, and I'm not sure I can afford it.
You could still apply for a student loan or sign up for a work-study program.
Yeah, I think I'll look into that.
Number 31. Why did the man go to see the woman? Number 32. What concern does the man have about the state university? Number 33. What does the man consider to be an advantage of Whitestone College? Number 34. What is the man likely to do in the near future? Questions 35 through 39. Listen to a conversation between two students.
Hi, Claire. How does it feel to be back on campus?
Keith, hi. Well, to tell you the truth, I have mixed feelings.
Oh? Why?
I had this great summer job that I really hated to leave. I worked at a wildlife research center in Maryland.
Well, that makes sense for a genetics major. What did you do? Clean the cages?
This is a... This is a wildlife center, not a zoo. This place breeds endangered species and tries to prepare them for life in the wild.
You mean endangered species like the tiger and the panda?
Well, endangered species, yes, but not tigers or pandas. I worked with whooping cranes and sandhill cranes. It was really neat. I taught the baby cranes how to eat and drink, and I helped the vet give them medical checkups.
I can see why it was hard to leave that job. But how do you teach a bird how to eat and drink?
We covered ourselves up with clogs and used puppets made out of stuffed cranes to show the baby chicks what to do. Then the chicks copied what the puppets did.
Clogs? Puppets? Sounds like fun.
It was. The clogs and puppets are the key to all of this. We all covered ourselves up. The scientists, the vets, the junior staff, everybody. You see, baby cranes will become attached to their caretakers.
So if the caretaker's a person, the cranes will stay in places where people are.
Yeah, and their chances for survival aren't very good. But by covering ourselves and by using bird puppets, the chicks are more likely to seek out other birds rather than people. And their transition to the wild has a better chance of being successful.
A chance of being successful? Hasn't this been done before?
It's been done with sandhill cranes, and everyone is optimistic about its working with whooping cranes, too.
If this works, it should increase the number of cranes in the wild.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it?
Number 35. Why does the woman say she has mixed feelings? Number 36. What was the woman's job? Number 37. What is the goal of the Wildlife Center? Number 38. Why does the man mention tigers and pandas? Number 39. Why do the staff members cover themselves with cloths as they work? Questions 40 through 42. Listen to part of a lecture in an architectural design course.
In 1871, the first passenger elevators were used in office buildings and allowed architects to build higher than people could comfortably walk. Another innovation was in building technique. In 1885, the steel skeleton was introduced and allowed for the construction of tall buildings that could withstand high winds. We take for granted some of the other inventions that enabled people to live and work in skyscrapers. For example, few people realize that the telephone was necessary for vertical communication, and that flush toilets and vacuum incinerators made waste disposal possible. Now, as we enter the age of the super skyscraper, some with more than 200 floors, we see the need for even more technological innovations, in the area of heating and cooling systems, for example. For all their benefits, these super tall buildings do cause problems, though. For one thing, they place an enormous strain on parking and traffic flow in urban areas. But let's leave behind these technical concerns and move on to consider some of the design elements that have come to characterize the age of the skyscraper.
Number 40. What does the professor mainly discuss? Number 41. What does the professor say about the invention of the elevator? Number 42. What will the professor probably discuss next? Questions 43 through 46. Listen to a talk by a member of the ski patrol at a resort.
Good morning. Let me welcome all the new members of the ski patrol. My name is Brenda Peters, and I've been a ski patroller for nearly 3 years. After working in offices and restaurants, I find this job very satisfying. After all, if you love the outdoors, it's a great job. You won't get rich, but you'll get in great shape, and you'll be able to help people every day. And for me, the best part of the job is giving ski lessons. I've made a lot of friends that way. Of course, your main responsibilities will involve ensuring the safety of everyone who skis here. All trails have to be checked daily to make sure they're groomed properly. You'll also have to be watching out constantly for people who aren't skiing safely or who may think they're better skiers than they really are. And to help those who are injured, you have to know basic first aid. Tomorrow, you'll begin training in a first aid system that's geared specifically to the outdoors. We pride ourselves on our ability to get people off the mountain quickly and safely. Okay, so you're free to explore the slopes for the rest of the day. All in all, I think that being a ski patroller is a great job. I hope you'll all feel the same way.
Number 43. What does the speaker mainly discuss? Number 44. According to the speaker, what is one advantage of working on a ski patrol? Number 45. What does the speaker say she likes most about giving ski lessons? Number 46. According to the speaker, what is one of the main responsibilities of a ski patroller? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to a lecture in a geology class.
If you flew over certain parts of Nebraska and Texas by plane, you might notice some large areas appearing as bright green circles many hundreds of feet across. This green is unusual in the high plains area where the climate is very dry. These green patches are the result of a new technique for mining underground water. In this technique, miners bore deep holes in the ground until they reach a special geological formation called an aquifer. The water, which has collected in these aquifers for hundreds of years, is called fossil water or groundwater. It's pumped up through the borehole and sprayed over the land to irrigate crops. Raising crops such as cotton and wheat, watered in this way, creates the fertile green areas that contrast vividly with the natural brown of the plains. Crop yields have increased dramatically. However, they've created a serious environmental problem. The problem is that the water is being removed from many aquifers faster than it can be replenished naturally. Groundwater levels have dropped rapidly, and it's becoming more difficult and expensive to get this water. In some parts of Texas, water levels in some of the aquifers have declined by more than 400 feet in 25 years. This process of using water faster than it can be replaced is widespread and serious.
Number 47. What does the speaker mainly discuss? Number 48. What benefits have resulted from the technique? Number 49. What is happening to groundwater? Number 50. What does the speaker imply about groundwater?